It is the Fan Morning Show. Ron Cook in for Greg Giannotti, Paul Alexander, Jim Colony. All three have the day off, have the next couple days off, actually. Be my pleasure to be back with you again tomorrow morning and Wednesday morning as well. Talking sports all the way up until 10 o'clock. This hour we're going to talk a little Pitt basketball. Big game in town tonight. One of my favorite games of the year. As far as I'm concerned, it doesn't get any better in the Big East than Pitt and UConn. UConn coming in 10-0 tonight, ranked number 4. Pitt coming in 12-1, ranked number 6. You'll hear that game here on 93.7 The Fan. I'd like to welcome in now a former colleague of mine and longtime pal, Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News, one of the preeminent college basketball writers in the country. Mike, happy holidays to you.
Good morning, Ron. Happy holidays to you also.
Thanks for taking a few minutes. It doesn't get any better in the Big East for me than UConn and Pitt, Mike. I think it's the best rivalry in the Big East, and I'm not sure it hasn't become one of the best rivalries in the country.
I think you're right. I think that what it seems to lack is a anchor in tradition. It's a recent rivalry. It's been a fabulous decade, but that's really where it begins around 2002, and I think that's why it isn't widely acknowledged or widely embraced. But it does kind of have a singular spot tonight. It's the only big college basketball game. I realize it'll be up against Monday Night Football, and that'll make a difference in how it's treated from an attention standpoint. But it's one of the biggest basketball games of the year, I think, now, and I think it certainly has a lot to say about where UConn and Pitt both will head.
Oh, I agree with you totally. Mike, I want to ask you about Pitt in a moment, but first of all, UConn comes in 10-0, weren't even ranked in the preseason. Such a disappointing finish last season. Lost 5 of their final 6. I think they were 7-11 in the Big East, didn't make the NCAA tournament. Are you surprised they're 10-0 and number 4 in the country?
Oh, absolutely. If you go back to Maui, If they hadn't found a way to squeeze out the Wichita State game in the opener of the Maui Invitational, who knows where they'd be right now. It really changed their outlook. They went into the Michigan State game in the semifinals with a lot more confidence, and once Kemba Walker started pouring it on there, then they just really shredded Kentucky. It's a team that is, when you look back, people think now, well, how could you rate them 10th? Well, look at their roster. Look at them now. You're talking about from third on down to seventh. Each one of those players is a freshman in terms of their leading scores. Napier, Lamb, Smith, Giffey, all freshmen. From second on down to, I think, eighth, it's either freshmen or sophomores. There's not a senior in their rotation. And if Walker weren't playing at the level that he's reached, then probably they wouldn't have won in Maui, and people wouldn't be wondering why all of a sudden they were dropped down to ninth in the preseason poll.
We're talking to Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News here on the Fan Morning Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Mike, Jim Calhoun pointed that out, as you might expect he would yesterday, saying he's playing 7 freshmen. And I think he said he only has 3 guys who have played a game inside the Peterson Event Center. Obviously, one of them is Kemba Walker, 26.5 points a game. I guess that's second in the country. How good is this junior guard?
He's become really spectacular. He's always been a player that was a great personality, great team guy, leadership if he could get into a position of leadership, which was hard with as many veterans as UConn had in the past. But he had everything but really perimeter shooting. And once he developed that to the level that he has it, and right now he's shooting 42% from three-point range, which is excellent. He became really, there's nobody that's impossible to guard, but maybe impossible to guard with one average defender. You're talking about a guy that if you go under a screen on a pick and roll, he'll make that deep three now. If you try to fight through it, he's in the lane. There are just so many possibilities for him when he has the basketball now. He's very unselfish, and really the key for I think teams that play against him is to force the ball out of his hands and to force it in the hands of some guys that are younger and maybe not as experienced at being able to do great things.
Pitt has won the past 3 games in this series, Mike, 4 of the past 5. They're 7-0 against top 5 teams all time at the Pete. Do you like Pitt tonight? What do you think of this Pitt team?
Well, you know, I think this is a big game for Pitt because they had the big Tennessee test and did not play well at all. Really didn't play effectively in any phase of the game that we usually expect from them. And it's not the only test they've had. I mean, they went to New York and played a couple good teams and played well up there. But this is huge for them because if you want to win the league, and certainly Pitt's in a position where winning the league is of great importance to them. It's important from the standpoint of continuing their tradition. It's also important from the standpoint of taking advantage of what they're capable of doing because this is a team that's really built to win the Big East. And it's important, I think, also in terms of NCAA tournament seeding. I mean, there are certain teams in the tournament you'd like to stay away from. You'd rather not be in Duke's bracket. You'd probably rather not be in Ohio State's. If you can win the Big East, it's going to be hard not to give you a number one seed.
Absolutely. Mike DeCourcy, the Sporting News, here with us on the Fan Morning Show. Mike, I know you were at the Tennessee game. I was very disappointed at Pitt's performance that day. Did they show you any shortcomings there? What do they have to do better to beat UConn tonight?
Well, you know, in that game, I don't know that UConn can take advantage first. To me, the most important thing that happened in that game, I mean, I know a lot of people are going to look at Scotty Hobson, and that was a big part of it, but the game was won in the first 5 minutes or so when Tyler Harrison and Brian Williams just basically said, the baseline is ours, and no one from Pitt could change that. And Pitt certainly built to be able to change that, but on that day, they just couldn't take it back. And when Pitt lost the edge inside, that's when Hobson was really able to start taking advantage and really start to go to town. I think that they have to play more physically along the baseline. And Gary McGee did not have a good day that day. There really wasn't anybody inside on that afternoon that had a good day. So, I mean, they have to start by owning that lane and taking it back. And there aren't as many guys for UConn that can challenge that. Alex Oriaki's terrific, but he doesn't have a lot of support. So Pitt has to own the lane. And then they have to figure out how they want to guard Walker. How do they double-team him? Do they mismatch him by using Brad Wanamaker on him rather than Ashton Gibbs? I mean, those are a couple of things they have to decide about how they want to play UConn. And you know, usually Jamie doesn't junk it up much. Usually he plays it pretty honest, and then they'll tweak some things. But they don't usually fool around that much with matchups. They don't usually go out of their way to double team a guy. It'll be interesting to see what approach they take.
We're talking to Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News, outstanding college basketball writer here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Mike, Pitt always rebounds well under Jamie Dixon. They always play defense. It looks to me that they have a little more scoring power this time with, you know, Ashton Gibbs gives them an outside threat. Brad Wanamaker gives them an outside threat. Are they more of a complete team than he's had in the past, perhaps?
No, I don't think they're more complete than 09. I think that was the best team he's had, and I don't think this team, you know, this team may beat the results, but in terms of the components, they won't beat. You had two NBA players on that team,
right?
With DeJuan Blair and Sam Young, and two guys who've been actually pretty good in the NBA, not just roster guys, but guys who've had a little bit of success in the league. They don't have that with this group, not yet. J.J. Moore, maybe down the line, maybe Dante Taylor builds his ability a little bit over the next couple of years. But those guys aren't established players. Neither of them even start right now. The guys who start for Pitt, you know, you're not going to have anybody on that team. I'm not going to say nobody's going to make it, but no one's going to charge in the front door and start, you know, playing in the rotation the way Sam and DeJuan have. I think they do have a nice setup in terms of they have a couple of physical wings in Brad and Gilbert Brown. They've got good size inside. They've got, you know, 3-4 guys they can rotate through the two post positions. They've got a couple of different ways to play it at the point. So they do have a lot of different answers. That's what this team has over almost everybody. They are one of the deepest teams in the country, if not the deepest teams. So they have a lot of different answers they can throw at problems. The Tennessee game, they kept throwing answers out there that didn't work. But I think it'll really help them over the course of an 18-game season in the Big East to have so many different solutions out there that if something doesn't quite work the first time around, they can try something else.
Well, Mike, the big question before I let you go, Jamie Dixon has been the winningest coach in the Big East since he joined the league as the head coach, but he's been knocked for never getting a team to the Final Four and perhaps underachieving a little bit in the NCAA tournament. Is this the year that Pitt could get to the Final Four?
Well, I think they could, but first of all, you know, I would disagree with the underachievement statement. I think that that's been incorrect all along. I think they've, with the exception of 09, when they really, you know, and it was as close as it could be, you know, 09 they had better talent than Villanova did, and, you know, obviously you would have felt better if you weren't facing a team that had a pretty good knowledge of what you did. You'd rather have faced a team on that stage that wasn't as familiar with you, and I think you would have had a better advantage. But I don't agree at all that they've underachieved. I think that they've done spectacularly well. I think what happens with Pitt, and this is one of the things that I've been saying about this team, is people look at the volume of veteran players they have, and they extrapolate it beyond the talent level. It's a terrific basketball team with great depth, but there are no difference-making players on that squad. There are no guys that are going to be top 10, top 15 NBA draft choices. And so they came into the year rated, I think, number 3 by the AP. I thought that was an unfair expectation. We had them, I think, at number 9. I think that's more reasonable for what the talent level is. I think that it's a tremendous program and a terrific team, but I think that people keep throwing expectations on them that
right.
don't match their talent.
Well, the reason I said underachieving is I think they've been beaten every year by a lower seed in the tournament, and that to me indicates a little bit of underachieving. I know we can argue that point. Mike, I appreciate you taking time. I'll look forward to seeing you down the road, and I hope 2011 is terrific for you.
Well, Happy New Year to all my friends in Pittsburgh. I think I still have a few.
There you go. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Ron.
All right, Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News. Nobody covers college basketball better than he does. I can tell you that. It's always a joy to have him on the show.